Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to bring massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South, although we are a little outside of the South with this episode. But my hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, I'm so excited to welcome my guest today, Eric Hatch, realtor, team leader, real estate coach, and friend to all agents from kind of in the north, Fargo, North Dakota. Welcome to the podcast, Eric.
Bro, this is the least south place in the United States, except for like Alaska. We are so far up here. Don't worry, it's still swampy and hot. But I'll tell you this, is like I love the South. I love the people from the South. I feel like I'm at home. I say y'all all the time. Everybody up here just says you guys. And I say y'all because I want to hang with cooler people.
Yeah, you got to shorten it, man. We don't have time to say use guys. That kind of drags on.
That's right. Those two syllables, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a Southern thing right there, baby. So yeah, so start off by telling us, I guess, give us a little background, right? So tell us how you got in the real estate business and then bring us to where you are right now.
You bet. I'm 20 years in this industry now, which is so wild. It was the end of 2005 that I got my license, and I was full-time employed at my local church. I was doing youth ministry and worship leading, and it was a full-time job, and I loved it, but it never paid the bills. And so I ended up getting licensed because I was flat broke. And I also was about to get married and wanted to take care of my wife. My wife was an educator for 17 years. And so like we had tens of dollars coming in, and real estate was the vehicle to fix the debt that I had. And then it became the acceleration to start my family. We battled with a bunch of infertility things, and then it became my ministry. So it's really been a transcendent piece into a lot of things. But I went from being a part-time agent to a part-time agent on a team, to then a solo agent full-time. And then I was a solo agent that started a team. My team in the last decade or so, Jamie, has sold about 7,000 houses.
Let's go.
We've had at our peak, we've had about a 9.5% market share in my community. And our top year, we sold 1,024 houses with 35 agents. So we built a really powerful team, but I've been out of production now almost 11 years. So I've been an owner and an operator, but about 10 years ago, I transitioned from real estate team leading into real estate team leading and coaching. And now I spend most of my time coaching and mentoring and helping and giving back however I can. Own my own brokerage. I was independent when I started. Then I went to Keller Williams for like 6 years. I then opened up my own brokerage and did that for 7. And that was a good run. But now I'm having my 4-year anniversary with Real this month as well. So that's how we're connected, is brothers at Real. But really, we're just connected because we care about agents and we care about making a difference in this community. And I get to live my best life now. I golfed this morning before I came to work and did a coaching call, and now get to rock out with you on this podcast. And like, what a life I get to live. Holy cow.
Yeah, I love that, man. Well, so how did the Real thing happen? So take us to that moment, right? So you said you were doing, I guess, an independent brokerage right there before you came to Real. Mm-hmm. So tell us about like, what was the thought, right? You had this independent brokerage, and what were some of the maybe the challenges that you were having with that? And then what was the moment where you said, okay, like now I maybe need to look at this new thing called Real?
Yeah. I'd be lying if I didn't say that there wasn't the attraction to the opportunity that was there. I'm a guy that has tilled a lot of soil throughout this real estate industry the last 20 years and developed a lot of relationships. And so I saw there being a possible lottery ticket that I hadn't cashed in yet. And so that was my selfish move to say like, oh man, I could have a better business opportunity when it comes to stock and revenue share and influence in a larger company, because Jamie, my ego was really big. Like any other realtor, I had a big ego. And when I opened up my own brokerage, I'm like, wow, I'm at the top of the totem pole now. This is everything I need. This is everything I want. And I recognize like I'm spending a lot of energy and time and money doing things that are not in my great skill set. And it's not income producing, and it's painful and arduous. And so I was like, I need to give myself a better model. that was one of the things. It was the opportunity to jump on something that appeared to be a right win and a right investment. And then it was the opportunity for me to start cashing in and getting back some of my time back into my life. So that was the first piece. But I saw the win. The only way I would make the move is if my agents won as well. Because if I win and they lose, that's a terrible partnership. And so I had to say, well, how do they win? And understand this, Jamie. I owned my own brokerage. So they paid me as a team leader, but they never paid a brokerage. I owned the brokerage. So I didn't charge them anything extra. And when every one of my agents made the move over, they were financially investing more into paying for fees and paying for splits than they were paying previous. And right. Wouldn't you know, everybody made the move with us. We didn't lose a single agent in the process. Everybody made the move with us. And in the last 4 years, the agents that have left my team, everybody but two is still with Real, which is super cool. The reason why they were going to win is, yes, there's the idea of getting referrals from all over the country. That's a value piece. There's the idea of getting education. That's a value piece. But it was them becoming an owner. And I think a lot of people think that you have to attract agents in order to capitalize on the stock that Real gives you, but it's not the case. You get stock when you're a capping agent. You get stock if you take advantage of the stock purchase plan. It's like a matching 401k. And Jamie, my agents suck at planning for their future.
Yeah.
And I have a fiduciary responsibility to help them to win and to set them up where they're not going to do it otherwise. And so you set it and you forget it. And this is a story that is heartbreaking, but also heartwarming. Is one of my agents that's been with me 4 years just recently got a divorce. And I remember him calling me disheveled and frustrated and scared, being like, how am I going to do this? This is so stressful. And he has four kids and like just losing all these things. Then he called me crying a couple of weeks later. I'm like, bro, what's up? And he's like, I just looked at my stock account. And over the course of the 3.5 years he had been at Real now, over the course of that 3.5 year period, what he had invested in the stock purchase plan and what he received for being a capping agent, he probably invested $25,000 to $30,000 of his own cash into that. Well, his stock account was $130,000.
Nice.
And Jamie, he's crying to me because his life is in shambles. And at the same time, he's like, man, Eric, you made this move. And I didn't always see what you saw, but you made this move and like it's financially setting me up where I'm not as stressed anymore. Like, what a cool thing that I got to do. And it's not credit to me, it's credit to Real. But as a leader, I have to go first. And as a leader, I have to say what's best for my people. Ultimately, Jamie, I also knew that my agents weren't going to stay with me forever. I'd love them to, but the average agent stays on a team about 3 years. Over the course of the 7 years I had my independent brokerage, I probably had 30 or 40 agents that left in that time. And they all went to EXP and KW and Remax and local mom and pop places. And I was like, well, I have nothing to show because I had no spot for them to win. They have to start over and that sucks for them. And then my long-term investment is gone. But when we made the move and agents have left the team, almost all of them are still at Real. And so they're still winning. They're still compounding their stock. They're still setting themselves up for those great wins. And I'm still winning because I get to still benefit in terms of revenue share. And so it was like the greatest win I could find.
Yeah.
And none of them wanted to make the move, Jamie. My kids are 10 and 8. My kids don't want to eat vegetables.
Yeah.
But it's the right move for them. And it's going to help them to be stronger in the long run. And they're going to turn back to be like, thanks, Dad, for making me eat those vegetables. For me, my favorite vegetable is an onion ring, but I digress.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm the same story. I mean, I moved to a small local brokerage right here in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I did that because I wanted to be around cool people, right? And that brokerage was around about 50 agents. And I just wanted to be across that vibe, right? And then the owners, basically, I'd been at the company, I don't know, a couple months. Mm-hmm. I really had started my own journey 18 years prior, been with the same little local brokerage, made a move, right? Took a big step of faith when I had little kids as well. And then when I had finally got comfortable, right, at this little small brokerage, right, of 50 agents, boutique style brokerage, they sat us all down and said, okay, you guys are going to love this, right? We're going to take the whole entire brokerage over to Real. And I said, you know, maybe I will, right? I don't know. But again, it comes down to trust, right? It comes down in trust of the leadership that they were going to do what they said they were going to do, that they weren't going to harm us and put us in a situation where we'd struggle or whatever. So I'm so thankful for those people who take that step out in faith, just like you did with your brokerage and just like the brokers of our 50 agent brokerage did when they made that move, because that was a huge, bold move, right? And that's what I always tell agents, be around people who are making those bold moves in their business, right? And they're doing big things. So that's what I tell people around Louisiana and around the South. It's like, hey, man, get in these communities where people are like doing big stuff, man, like, and just be a part of it. And one of those communities that you and I are both, you know, part of, and you and Tim Macy kind of lead, is called AAU, which is Agent Attractors Unite. So that's tell us a little bit about that group and what you guys are focused on in that group.
Having been in this company for 4 years, there was this overarching fear of recruitment breath that people would have.
Yeah.
The desire to not aggressively go after other agents. And there's a difference between recruitment and attraction. We try to be really intentional on that difference. A recruiter is, I'm going after you so I can win. Yeah. And an attractor is saying, hey, come and grow here if you think it's right for you. It's just a different kind of approach. And we recognize that there was not a built-in cadence. There wasn't a rhythm. There wasn't a focus on providing regular training and regular support for people that do care about agent attraction. The truth of it is, whether you're looking at a company like Real or maybe another similar company like eXp, only 11% of people actually have anybody in their network. Now, what's wild about it is we're careful with the language, because we don't like talking about downlines. I don't think anybody wants to be in a downline, but I think a lot of people want to be in a network. I think a lot of people want to be partners. Jamie, if I was privileged to have you in my network, it would stink to be like, hey, yeah, you're in my downline. That's like right. All the language we use matters. Like, as an example, I wrote a book called The Perfect Real Estate Agent Blueprint. And in that book, we talk about how you use this agent partner model, how you find somebody to be the nurse to you being the doctor, how they're so busy and ingrained in the transaction, but you're still there for the surgery. You're still there to navigate and negotiate the sticky stuff, right? The inspection, contingency removals, and writing of the offers and that sort. So many people use the language, hey, this is my showing agent or my showing assistant. But what happens is, when you use that language of assistant, all of a sudden, or you just say it's my showing agent, it gives the perception for the other person that they're inferior.
Right.
That the person who's saying it is superior. And some people need that ego stroked, and I get that if they're the ones needing to have people that work under them or have people in their downline. But for myself and for Tim and for AAU, we try to talk about how we're partners. Love and that. How we have a network, and how we don't recruit, we attract. And these feel like small differences, but what we're doing is we're taking the 11% that are currently winning with agent attraction, and probably the 30 or 40% that desire to, and we're teaching them how to do it right. We're teaching them not how to land in somebody's inbox with recruitment breath to say, hey, will you please come and join me? And instead, it's about four key elements, Jamie. The first is earning the conversation. And for some people, that takes years, right? It's the relationship capital, and it's finding a space and a place so that we can make sure that we win. So long as they win. It's not an either or, it's a both and. After you earn the conversation, then you have to figure out how to have the conversation and the right things to say, how to listen really well, how to not hard sell, how to not speak poorly of other companies. This is always about Real. It's not about where they're at or where they're considering. The third is to then how to nurture that, right? So first is earn, and then it's have. And then it's nurture, because most people aren't ready to jump in and say yes today. And then it's how to be a great sponsor. And we just make sure that every week in our AAU calls, we're hitting on one, two, three, or four of those elements, in hopes that the next iteration of people who want to grow the company and who want to impact other people's lives and want to change their own world, that they have a really good foundation on how to do so.
Yeah, man. I absolutely love it. And I love the vibe, and I love how, you know, it's structured and how Real is set up, in the sense of, you know, we want to raise up the other person that we're bringing on. Like, we want them on the pedestal. We don't want to be on the pedestal as the person at the top of the network or the downline or whatever we're calling it. Like, we want them to be elevated. And I think that's the space that I've been living in, like, recently, is like, I just want to be the friend to all agents. I want to cheer for every agent. And you know what I heard about it as well is, like, agents who are looking to, like, grow the company, or agents who are looking to grow it, I don't care what company you're at. If you're looking to grow the company, be that person that's out on social media liking their posts, saying, hey, great listing, can I show it or share it? Be that person that's commenting in their stories and saying, what a cute baby or whatever. Like, just be that agent that's like the friend to all agents. And, like, that's a great space to be. And I feel like that's where I'm having a lot of success in agent attraction, is, like, I'm just having, like, I'm being the friend to all agents. And I think what's important in that sense is, like, their broker is not doing that. Their broker is not doing that. They're running a brokerage. They're not out there on social media saying, great new listing, or what a cute baby, or congratulations that so-and-so graduated high school. Like, agents that are kind of in our network are just loving on agents. And, like, I feel like they're getting that from us, but maybe they're not getting that from their broker. And then when a problem arises at the brokerage, they're like, Jamie's always been the one that said how awesome I was and shared my listing and congratulated me on everything. So now I'm going to kind of see what he's got going on. And that's where the conversations start, at least for me.
Yeah, you're talking about a philosophical piece of groundwork that is infallible, and that is treat them better than.
Yeah.
Better than their current broker, better than the community that they come from, better than the voices that they have in their own head. When you can treat them better than, you end up winning. And so people wonder, well, how do you – yes, we can say in theory, Jamie, that we should treat people better, but I want to show you four ways to do so. This is my favorite acronym when it comes to attracting anyone in your world. Those that are realtors, this works so well with your past clients, with your database of people that you are friends with or connected with, those most likely. When I was a KW agent, like most, I read the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book, and MREA talks about the difference between METs and have-not-METs. And it was so imperative for me to understand this. Have-not-METs had a 1 in 50 conversion rate. 1 in 50, so 2%.
Right.
Where a MET had a conversion rate of 2 in 12, which is 16.67%. And as a math guy, I always wondered, like, why didn't they break that fraction down to, say, 1 in 6? And the reason why is they would say, well, for every 12 people in your database that know, like, and trust you, if you follow the steps, one of the 12 is going to work with you and one of the 12 is going to refer you. So 2 in 12 is 16.67%. I'm always left saying, like, our best energy is spent on people we already have relationship capital with. And there's a four-part way in which to till the soil and create the way in which, when you do have conversations and you do plant seeds, and there are the things that you've done all the work ahead of time. It's called CAIGE, C-A-I-G, okay? The C is to compliment. Jamie, you talked about it, landing in someone's stories or commenting on their posts, but complimenting them. Like, compliments are specific. If I say, hey, everybody, thanks for listening today, that doesn't mean anything to anyone. But if I say, hey, over there in Nashville, I know that my buddy Dan is listening. Dan, you mean the world to me, bro. Thank you for tuning in. I promise you, Dan holds his head up a little bit higher and puts his shoulders back just a little bit, because compliments are specific. So if you're wondering how to make people think well of you, you compliment them. The A is my favorite. I'm going to come back to that, okay? But remember, the acronym is CAGE. Then it's I. The I is to invite somebody. You're inviting them to an experience, to a place of connection, to learn together. You're inviting them to coffee. You're inviting them to meet somebody that you care about. You're inviting their opinion in. All those things matter a lot. And if you want somebody to think well of you, well, the best way to do it is to invite them to something. G is gratitude. Gratitude is nature's most powerful aphrodisiac. And so when you show gratitude and thanks with specificity, it's gonna carry and it's gonna go a long ways. Gratitude and compliments sometimes mirror each other just a little bit, but both are accelerators for the growth that you want. But then it goes back to the A. Okay. The A is ask. So it's compliment, ask, invite, and show gratitude. If I were to call up that agent in my market, who I think, man, this would be a really great partner over at Real. I would love to have this person in my network. I respect them. I lift them up. Of course, I can give them all those compliments I just said about them. But watch this. If I call up Jamie in my market and I say, Jamie, bro, can you do me a favor? I know you and I have done a couple of deals together over the last couple of years. And I want to be a 10 out of 10 agent. And I also am wise enough to know that I'm not there yet. So Jamie, what's one or two things I can do better or different as an agent? Okay. When you ask for someone's input and feedback, when you ask for help, they intrinsically become a board of trustees member in your world. Simon Sinek says, we think we become trustworthy when we offer help, but we actually become trustworthy when we ask for help. And so if you can ask for help, if you can ask for feedback, and how you ask matters a lot, you can't just say, hey, how am I doing? Instead, it's what's one or two things I can do better or different. I promise you, the deep-rooted plants in the right kind of soil will sprout amazing opportunities so long as we're confident enough in ourselves to become cage fighters with these people that we're privileged to be connected with. This kind of approach, this is what we teach in AAU. This kind of approach is how I've built my network to almost 2,000 people. This kind of approach can change someone's life if you just do it long enough and well enough.
Love that.
There's a guy who wrote a book called The 7 Levels of Communication. His name is Michael Mayer. A super awesome speaker. Came up with this really great way to never buy a lead ever again, instead just to earn leads. And when I sent out my cage fighter analogy, I sent a bunch of emails out to people. He's like, hey, you should change it to cigar, right? Add R to repeat it and do it again, because you can't just do it once. You have to stay consistent in it. So it would be compliment, invite, gratitude, ask, and repeat.
Yeah.
So I thought it was good to be a cigar fighter or a cage fighter. Doesn't matter to me. I'm here for it either way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about agents, because agents right now are really struggling for sure. So, you know, some agents are really questioning whether or not they can even make it the year. 2025 hasn't been very friendly. 2024 hasn't been as friendly either. But let's talk about agents. Like, in what ways and can agents like actually get back, you know, right the ship? So what are you telling these agents in your coaching calls? What are they struggling with right now? And what are you helping them with right now?
You know, we have been lulled into thinking that this game is easy. This game is simple. It's not easy. It's three steps only in order to win. You got to say the right thing, say it enough times, and say it to the right people. I'm business partners with Ben Kinney. I'm a part of Place. Ben taught me that. Say the right thing. Say it enough times. Say it to the right people. I promise you, Jamie, every realtor and business person has goals, but they actually don't know the daily commitments that it takes in order to achieve those goals. And what was lighter commitments is now much more robust in order to get there. And so I throw goals out the window. I hate having conversations about goals. I love to know directions people are willing to go and the commitments they're willing to take in order to get there. And the goals will show themselves when you get clear on the daily commitments. I have somebody in my network, and I want to share with you, we were in conversation just earlier today. I have somebody in my network at Real who's struggling. And he was honest about it, which I appreciated. But he had a large goal to sell 60 homes this year, and he's at a fraction of that through the year. And so I asked him, what is he going to do? He said, triple down on everything. I said, okay, what does that mean? And then he's like, well, I got to work harder. I'm not sure that working harder with a dull axe gets it done.
Yeah.
If you want to chop down some trees, Jamie, there's three things we have to look at. I stole this from Sharon. So again, I don't really have any own original thoughts. I just repeat people who I am privileged to be partners with and love growing with. But he drew out a triangle and he just said, why didn't you reach your goals? And on one side of the triangle, it says skill. One side says effort. And one side says opportunity. Most people love to blame the opportunity. They love to blame the market. When he was sharing this with me, my wife was in the Redwood Forest of California. These giant trees. My wife's 5'10". She's this like tall, beautiful blonde lady. And she sent me a picture of her next to these trees, and she's never looked more teeny tiny in her life. Jamie, there's still a forest of opportunity out there right now for people. There is a plethora of opportunities, but it's no longer small ash trees. It's redwoods. And so we can't blame opportunity. We have to say, is it skill or is it effort? What I'm talking to my guy about is, why haven't you reached your goals? Is it skill or is it effort? And most people blame one or the other, but you can swing an axe 1,000 times, but if that axe isn't sharp, that tree's never going to chop down. If you spend your time sharpening the axe and then you swing in the same spot over and over and over again, you'll find success. So I'll challenge anybody who I'm privileged to coach and connect with. I'll challenge them and I'll say, well, why haven't you reached your goals? Is it skill, effort, or opportunity? And most of them say it's effort. But then I say, well, how sharp are you on your skills? And the truth is, Jamie, people think because they had good success in 2020 and 2021 and 2022 that their axe is still sharp. But it actually wasn't sharp back then.
Yeah.
It was just the smallest trees. It was just easy pickings. Yeah. And so agents need to spend an inordinate amount of time sharpening their axe, 30 to 60 minutes a day of role playing, of training, and they need to do it 5 days a week. Most are not right now. 99% of them are not. Then you got to figure out where is the best place for you to swing. For me, I understand there's 4 great lead sources, and the ones I concentrate on are the first and the last. Here's the 4 lead sources for any agent out there. The first is PCSOI, past client sphere of influence. It's relationships. That's number one. Number two is low-hanging fruit. That's Zillow and Homelight and Dave Ramsey and agent referrals. These things are costing you 25 to 40% per transaction, but it's people who are ready, willing, and able. Number three is long-term nurtures. It's neighborhood farming. It's working with people from open houses. It's Google pay-per-click. That's right. These are low to no cost leads, but they're going to take an inordinate amount of time to actually start showing some fruit. The fourth and final is reputation business. That's your Google reviews. That's your social media presence. That's your involvement in your community. And those are the ones that I like to work on, is the reputation and the relationship business. I don't want to swing my axe at 4 different spots. Jamie, if you want to find success, pick one and become the best at it. Most agents are swinging at 4 different spots with a dull axe, and then they say, well, there's no trees to chop down. It's like, no, bro, you suck. Not because they're ill-intended. It's because this market has duped us into thinking we're better than we actually are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, your axe thing, isn't that an Abraham Lincoln thing or something? Like, it was like, if I had an hour to cut a tree down, I'd spend 45 minutes sharpening the axe or something like that.
Yep. And then Bruce Lee goes on to say, I don't fear a man that has practiced 10,000 kicks. I fear a man that's practiced 1 kick 10,000 times.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's about consistency, baby. Showing up, you know, I feel like that's the biggest thing for realtors right now is just, they might have shown up well on a phone call or on a social media post, right? But they're looking to – that's how they're planning on growing their business. But I love the analogy about 2022 and 2023 when things were like really rolling and things were super cheap interest rates. And you could have just mowed down a bunch of trees with your bare hands if you wanted to, because there were just that many opportunities with the super cheap interest rates. And a lot of what that did too in that whole time was most of the people who were going to buy, it forced them into the present, which I loved that mindset too of thinking about how those really low interest rates really changed the market and really sucked a lot of the 2024 buyers into 2023 because they were like, we're buying now because interest rates are super crazy cheap.
Right.
So right now, realtors have to get back to, okay, how do we actually sell real estate? And like getting back to the basics and getting back on the phones and getting back in front of your past clients and doing all these different things. So
Jamie, can I challenge some of your language? Because I think what you're saying is right. But in my experience, it has been deflating for agents when we talk about getting back to.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people want to go backwards. They want to go forward. And so the same as we talk about the difference between recruitment and attraction, the same as we talk about the difference between going back and going forward. Like, hey, I have this plan and I think this is what's going to be great is what if we, right? And you get the agents to say, I want this. It is a boring, non-sexy plan. The houses that we sell, the least sexy part of it is the foundation. It's the most important part, but it's the least sexy part.
Right.
And so it's better to talk about building new than rehabbing old.
Gotcha.
What you're saying, I agree with 1,000%, but the language patterns that have worked best for me in trying to move agents to the greatness that they're called to and for the lives that they want is never about rehabbing what they have, but it's about building new.
Yeah. Yeah. So how would you reframe that then for agents and where I was going with that, I guess, you know, as far as building new?
I think there's always the power of self-discovery. That's super important. And so when agents recognize, like, all right, how did you get your first clients? Not the ones that maybe came from your team or not the ones that you bought, but how did you get them? Right. And usually it's relationship capital. It's things that they did. And then you look to say, well, have you had enough conversations? Have you been consistent in that? And they're going to be like, well, no, I'm not sure I am. And okay, well, are you saying the right thing? Well, I'm not sure I am. I thought I was, but you know, there's so many changes that are out there and people are so afraid right now that maybe my axe is dull and maybe my effort is inconsistent. And so I would say you're coming in now with a totally new understanding of things, but you're a seasoned agent. What does your dream business look like? And the dream business is I want to make a bunch of money and I don't want to work very long. We think the American dream is home ownership. No, the American dream is I want to make a ton of money and I don't want to work any hours to get it. And so in order to get there, we got to figure out, well, where are you going to get your clients? You can have the reputation business. You can have the relationship business. You can have the low-hanging fruit. You can have the long-term nurtures. Which one sounds the most appealing to you? And everyone's going to say relationship and reputation. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think many people want Zillow Flex. A lot of people have Zillow Flex, but I don't think many people want Zillow Flex. And so they say, I want something that's going to pay me well, and I'm not going to have to work very hard for it. Awesome. Well, let's build that. Let's make sure that you have the habits and the daily commitments every day in order to build what you want to build. Instead of rehabbing what you have today, which is going to take way more time and way more money than you ever think, let's build something new. And it doesn't mean that you abandon the old house. You're still kind of living in both places, but you're building the new one for you to go to.
Yeah. Dude, I love that analogy, man. That's actually really super slick. And I agree with you. The same thing is nobody wakes up in the morning and gets super excited about, oh, I get to do all these Zillow leads today, right? They want to have the relationship. They want to have the conversations. They want to get that referral because that referral feels really good, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you get the Zillow call, and I've done Zillow myself, you know, you get that call in and you're, it's always the worst time. It's like when you're in the middle of dinner or whatever, you're like, oh, it's Zillow. I got to grab it or whatever. But when you get that referral, it just feels better. So, you know, I know like a lot of those agents like really want that referral because, I mean, it's a compliment too. I mean, you know, I know everybody says a referral is a compliment, but like that feels good. And that's where, like you said, if we can get back to a business where it's what we want for our business and it's attractive and it's those people are calling us but through our efforts that we're putting out on social media or phone calls or a weekly email or whatever it is, like that's the kind of business we want. And maybe, yeah, like you said, asking those questions of, hey, what is the type of business that you really want? And let's go out and build you a brand new house with a great foundation built on all of these amazing things and really get you the business you want. That sounds awesome to me.
That's right.
Appreciate it, Eric. Man, look, we're blew through 30 minutes, no problem, man. And I want to be respectful of your time. And you basically you have so much value. So I'm going to definitely put some of your contact information in the details of this podcast, man. And I hope that agents reach out to you for everything awesome that you're doing and go follow you on some of the social media platforms. But I'll ask you one more thing and just maybe close it out with one more little encouraging message to realtors, and then we'll close it out.
Hold is my message. It's from Braveheart, right? William Wallace, as it feels like the enemy is attacking and you want to retreat and you want to curl up. Like, gang, this is a fantastic business. I got a message from somebody really important to me yesterday. She's like, you ever thought about like just shutting the team down and starting over? I'm like, yeah, every day. And I think that realtors and team leaders right now are kind of staring at that of like, maybe I should shut it down. This is the Shawshank Tunnel so many of us are in right now. And it's dark and it's covered in crap everywhere and it's frustrating, but there is something really beautiful on the other side. And so if you hold, and you stay strong and you stay the course, I can promise you that this isn't happening to you. This is happening for you, and your best chapters are still to be written.
Dude, absolutely love that. One of my favorite movies and a great scene in the movie. So appreciate you referencing that, brother. But all the best, man. I really appreciate you joining us. I appreciate what you're doing at the company and growing agents and helping agents. It's just been a joy to grow this opportunity alongside you and Tim and all the amazing leadership that we have over at Real. So I appreciate you so much, Eric, and I hope that people reach out to you. So
it's a joy. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Well, look, do us a favor, like the podcast, give us a great review. We post a brand new audio episode every Monday morning at 5 a.m. on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of your favorite podcast listening platforms. And we're also now posting these out on YouTube. So we'll have this episode up there as well. So guys, I really appreciate you tuning in every week. It means the world to me and that you're a part of what we're doing. So guys, I hope that you have an amazing day.